whether you're listening live or recorded. We certainly appreciate that. If at some time, if you feel blessed or whatever, if you would hit the like button, that would be very much appreciated. We thank you very much for your support and for your listening to us. Once again, you can check the website. You can check Facebook for some latest messages, for any type of updates or for anything that you may have, questions or whatever. That'd be a good place, source of information. Also, we have our carrying and sharing out front. If you haven't picked one up already, please pick one up. And you can check it for prayer requests, just for some upcoming events, a good source of information there. I'd like to mention about giving back to God. We don't actually pass the plate, as we mentioned several times, but we do have multiple ways in which you can give back to God. We have the box in the back. We have online where you can donate. You can donate through your phone, various ways. And let's not forget our kids' gifts. Our kids' gift still has the box there in the back where they can put their gift in there. Every month, this goes to a selected missionary somewhere in the world. And so let's not forget the kids' gifts as well. A couple of upcoming events that we'd like to mention is today is the last day to submit names for a Christmas basket. Okay, so if you have someone that you'd like to submit their name, if you could please do that today. This is the last day to submit names. And those baskets will be delivered on December the 14th. All right, so let's not remember that. Maybe need some help there as that's coming up. And so the only other announcement I have is Savannah Stewart. Her mother was scheduled for surgery. She is in Lubbock. For whatever reason, that has been postponed until, I believe, this Friday. That's the only announcement I have at this time. If nothing else, Randy.
Good morning, church. Let's all be standing.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that make the heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether.
think most of you know that each week this month we've been emphasizing one of the different missionaries that we support. Today I'm going to share a little bit about Shelley Bryant with you. If you look her up on the internet, you see that she shows up and is listed as a poet, a writer, a translator, and she divides her time between Singapore and Shanghai. Now, some of you may know that she was a local girl. She grew up here nearby, and Alvin is listed as her hometown. And she moved to Singapore in the early 90s, and she's been living and working in Southeast Asia for over 25 years now. She first went to Singapore and Malaysia in 1988 on a Rotary Club International Student Exchange Program. And while she was there, she sort of fell in love with the people, the cultural diversity, and so forth. And after that trip, she decided that she wanted to return there someday and live and work. That opportunity came for her after she graduated with a degree in theology from Oklahoma Christian University in 1991. Later, there was an opening for her to teach in the Churches of Christ there in Singapore, and she's been living there ever since. Now, when she first got there, and for I think a couple of decades after, she lived with a local family. And she studied and learned Chinese basically on her own and with their help. And today she's highly regarded and has a very good knowledge of the Chinese language, so much so that she translates lots of poems, and back and forth between Chinese and English. And she's highly regarded and has actually won awards for her skills and abilities in that area. Some of you may remember she was here with us, I think it was just a little over a year ago, and gave us an update on the situation there. If you want to know more details, you can ask me afterwards. I can fill you in on a few more of the details. But let's pray together and remember Shelley and the work that she's doing there. Father, we thank you so much for everything that you've given to us. We thank you today. We want to especially thank you for Shelley and her desire to live abroad and live and work and share your word with the people in Southeast Asia. Father, compared to what we live, where we live, it can be a difficult place, and we pray for her safety. We pray for her ability to communicate with the people, not only there in Singapore, but when she travels to Shanghai. And please keep them and all the people that she works with safe from harm. And Father, we thank you that she's willing to do this and to serve you in such a strong and powerful way in another part of the world. Dear Lord, we ask that you help each one of us be your missionaries in our local area. Help us to be willing to share your word and your message and your good news about Jesus with those that we come in contact with. We thank you, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.
In need of grace, in need of love, in need of mercy raining down from high above, in need of strength, in need of peace, in need of things that only you can give to me, in need of Christ.
Morning. Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you just bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then, and only then, the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man, the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I
Good morning, all. Before I jump into the message this morning, I wanted to give a quick announcement about the 47th annual Christmas party that will be held here at the church building for the first time ever. It's always been somewhere else, and this year we're going to be doing it here. As you can see on the slide behind me, there's a sign-up sheet in the Welcome Center, and I want to encourage you to put your name on it. Each name takes a different line, and then leave a space or mark through a couple lines, then that will allow other people to sign up. We're limiting space on tables due to socially distancing, but we do want everybody to be welcome and be a part of this, and that will determine how seating arrangement is, but that's kind of the example of what we want to happen. It's going to be $10 per person. All children 10 and under are free. So that's been a little change this year. If you've got any questions, Joanne Taylor is going to be in the Welcome Center in the foyer with the sign-up sheets. If you have any questions, she's the boss. So if you've got questions, she's been doing this for 47 years. She's a pro at this now, and so she is the one to go to. This week, I have the honor and the privilege to kick off our new series for the holiday season. Alan introduced the theme last week, the theme titled Unexpected. As we look at women named in the genealogies of Matthew and Luke's genealogies and of their accounts, in keeping with the theme Unexpected, I'm actually not going to do a name that's in the genealogies. As you can expect, it's got to be unexpected, so we're going to start with a name that is not in there. But this person is kind of key to all of the genealogies. If it wasn't for this woman, we would not exist, at least not in the situation that we are. The genealogies talk about all these men, and we know that the Bible was it was written during a patriarchal time. So there's a lot of men throughout the scripture, throughout the genealogies. But there are some women who are important to the story of Jesus. And what we're going to kick off with is Eve. She is the mother of all. And this morning we're going to see how her story connects with the story of Jesus and connects to us. But before I start, I've got to ask, what's the day before Christmas? What's that called? Christmas Eve. Do you know what the day before that is called? It's Christmas Adam, because Adam came before Eve. So there you go. There's your learn something for the day. So moving on quickly, I suppose. We'll be looking at Eve, not Christmas Eve. We'll be looking at Eve, the first lady. And so many of us are familiar with her story, but let's look at some of the text to see who she was, how she came about, and how we connect. So from Genesis 2, starting in verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. I don't know where he came up with the word platypus, but he came up with it, apparently. So the man gave all the names to the livestock, to the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. I'm going to pause real quick on this. This is not a key part of my lesson, but animals are too different from humans. No suitable helper was found. Animals are not right for us to have relationships with, if you know what I mean. Okay, just scripture then goes on to explain that later, but there's another point to this. So, verse 21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib that he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And Adam's first words, wow. Beautiful. No, it was, the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." I think I would have said, wow, or, whoo, look at her. But no, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And what's important, I talked about the animals being not right. Eve was similar, but not the same. Eve was different enough to have a relationship with, rather than being the same or too different. That's important for us to remember. Not part of our lesson specifically, but that's something for us to remember. This passage introduces us to Eve. This passage shows us that Eve was made for Adam. You could say they were literally made for each other. And I just cannot imagine the beauty in Eve. She was crafted by God's hands. She was the perfect person physically because God created her. So everybody here, everybody online will have, if you ever see her, excuse me, you will know that's Eve when you get to heaven. Because you'll see her and you'll go, wow, that person was not created by person, and two people, that person was created by God. And I think that was the same for Adam as well. So God created Eve from the rib. And this passage, again, introduces us to Eve. And don't get me wrong, we are all created in God's image. Genesis 1, 26 through 28 reads, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" So we were created in God's image. Adam and Eve and all of us have been created in the image of God. Psalm 139, starting in verse 13, reads, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." But this woman, Eve, she was not created equally to the rest of us. She was made in the hands of God from a rib of her husband, not in a womb like everyone here. She was not created with parental role models like you and I. She was not created as a child being protected from the things around her, like you and I. Coming from Adam's rib, she was created not as one with power over him, not from the head, so she didn't have power over him, and not from the foot, so she was lorded over, but from the side, being made equal. But also, being created from the rib, where, like a hen protects her chicks, Adam was to protect her. But she also had a job to protect his breath, his life, and his heart, like your ribs do. And I believe Eve is given a lot of blame for the condition of the world. After all, she brought sin into the world. But I want us to take a look at this a little closer. Genesis 3. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the fruit that from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. We're going to skip down a few, a few verses to where God comes into the garden and they start having this conversation. The man said to God, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." The Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." On this day, God promises two curses. We just read the first one. Cursed are you above all livestock. The first curse is to the serpent. And the second one is to the ground. The ground is cursed, and as a result, we have to work our ground, work the ground. Fruit doesn't just happen. We have to work the ground so the food is grown. Jerry, you're a farmer. You know what it's like to work the ground. I know what it's like to mow my yard, and that's hard enough. But there were repercussions to what Adam and Eve did. But it's interesting that the serpent was cursed and the ground was cursed, but Adam and Eve were not. Because God loves them in the same way he loves us. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a punishment, and they have to deal with that. Women, your labor pains and the childbearing is going to be much worse than it would have been. Men, you have to work. You've got to earn this. You've got to bring the bread home, right? And so, as a result, we have a punishment, but we were not cursed. If you notice as well, the word sin is never used. Sin is not used in this whole story. In fact, it's not used until Genesis 4. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor. The Lord worked with favor. Looked on. Get my teeth back in. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin." Here's the first word of sin ever mentioned in the Bible, is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. The scripture read before I got up, the scripture that Wes read, came from Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus was tempted by the devil. It must be stated that since the day Eve was tempted and she fell into that temptation, the devil has been at it. He has not stopped trying to bring sin into the world. But God promised the serpent, the devil, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." The devil has not stopped striking at our heels. He even tried tempting Jesus with food, like he did with Eve. He tempted Jesus to prove who he belongs to, like he did with Eve. Did she belong to God by listening to him or by listening to the serpent, herself and her desires. Then he tempted Jesus with things that was not his to give away, like he did with Eve. Knowledge of good and evil was not the devil's to give away. That belonged to God. And it's funny, as parents, we want to protect our children from the evils of the world. When there's something bad on the television or around us, we cover their eyes. When the fireworks are too loud, we cover their ears. All to protect them. As parents, we want to protect and keep our children innocent of the evils. But sin has its way of working and teaching our children before we or they are ready. Satan was striking at the heel of Jesus, as he all too often does with you and I. But it's promised that Eve's offspring will crush his head. And he doesn't want that to happen. This word offspring becomes an important word in the story of the Bible. It shows up again and again all throughout the Old Testament. The line of offspring is traced from Adam to Noah, to Abraham, to Jacob, to Judah, to David. And all the way along, with each important person that comes up, we ask, could this be him? Could this be the person of the promised offspring? Could this be the promised offspring of the woman who will crush the serpent? And each time, we are painfully disappointed. This is the season we get to celebrate that the promised offspring of Eve was finally born. And his name is Jesus. And today we're going to see how Jesus perfectly fulfilled this promise. This Jesus of Nazareth, who is the one who crushed, is crushing, and will finally crush his ancient enemy, Satan. Luke's Gospel of Jesus records the genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Adam, and therefore Eve. We have the understanding of the offspring of Eve will crush the head of the serpent. Luke jumps into the temptation of Jesus, like Matthew does, but Luke's account goes from the genealogies straight to the temptation of Jesus. So we see all the way back from Adam and Eve and this promise straight to Jesus' temptation and how he defeats Satan's temptations. And unlike you and I, unlike Adam and Eve and everybody else, Jesus resisted Satan. He fought back. He clung to the truth of God's word instead of letting it be twisted by Satan. And I wonder if panic seized the kingdom of darkness in those moments as Satan and all his legions realized that for the first time in history, their game wasn't working. Jesus was not caving in. He was exhausted, hungry, and alone, and in a place of complete weakness. Where most of us would have long since given up, Jesus dug in and said, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And think about your life. Think about how easily you've given in to temptation over and over and over again. Think about how easy we've made it for Satan to deceive us and what little effort he needed to put us astray, to lead us astray. And now look at Jesus, weakened from 40 days of starvation, with subtle, alluring little temptations being dangled in front of his face, ones that most of us wouldn't even think are sin. And he says, no. No discussion, no negotiation, no wavering, solid, unflinching strength. And Satan can do nothing but back down. The devil didn't back down because even though he was defeated in the wilderness and hopelessly overpowered by Christ, the ancient serpent was not going to give up. He was waiting for another chance. Excuse me. He was waiting for another chance, and that chance came the night that Jesus was betrayed and led away to be killed. In Luke 22, verse 3, Satan enters Judas, and this led Judas to go arrange to betray Jesus to the authorities. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane, after Judas' awful kiss was planted on his cheek, the other disciples abandoned him. It reads, Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay your hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." That was the hour of the power of darkness. This was Satan's hour. And so it's very likely that in this whole process of entering Judas and getting Jesus arrested and killed, Satan thought he was winning. Maybe, he thought, maybe if I couldn't get Jesus to sin, I can ruin his reputation, settle him to shame, and kill him before he actually takes claim as king on the throne. But Satan had no idea. He had no clue that Jesus had outmaneuvered him. He had no idea that as he moved in for the attack, he put himself into checkmate. He had no idea that Jesus still had the upper hand, even as he was whipped and beaten and led up the hill and nailed to a cross and hung up to die. This was God's plan. What looked like Satan's greatest victory actually became the very thing that sealed his doom. It was Jesus' death that he destroyed. It was in Jesus' death that he destroyed the power of Satan. He reached out to strike at Jesus, but in doing so, he was destroyed. Satan bruised the heel of Jesus, but in that very action, Jesus crushed his head. And so it was on the cross, Jesus won victory over Satan. It is funny to me that the temptation of Eve came from a tree, and our salvation from that sin came from Jesus hanging on a tree. So this morning, I want to invite you, whether you're here in the building, whether you're at home, I invite you, as James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In just a moment, if you feel called to respond, you may come forward or send a text to the number that's on the screen or write in the comments on the YouTube page. Perhaps you want to ask for prayers. Prayers for strength, for forgiveness, direction, whatever it may be. We as a church want to support you as a family, because we all are descended from these two people. And so we need to reach out and we need to support our family. It may be, excuse me. It may have been Eve that fell for the first time for the devil's ways, but she certainly wasn't the last. We've all done it. We've all fallen for it. I'm certain both Adam and Eve lived with the regret and guilt of their actions for the rest of their lives. I want you to know that you do not have to live with the regret of your actions, your bad decisions, your sin. You may be walking with bruised heels where the devil has been snapping at you, but the serpent's head will be crushed. Jesus, the offspring of Eve, came to crush the head of Satan. He came so that we might choose him to live for, instead of ourselves and instead of our selfishness. He came as a baby, grew up to be a man, died as a sacrificial lamb, and one day, and this is the hope that we have, he will return to bring us home to heaven. Now, if you've been listening to this today, I don't know if you know Christ. I don't know if you have, if you haven't trusted in Jesus, please hear the sobering truth that you do have reason to fear. But it doesn't need to stay that way. You can turn to Christ today for safety and salvation through the cleansing power of baptism, a reenactment of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. God's word promises in Psalm 34:22, the Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. So please, don't leave this morning without turning from your sin and believing in all that Jesus is and promised to be. Please come and talk with me or an elder or anyone who does know who Jesus is. And if you do know who Jesus is this morning, then know that you can walk out of this place. You can walk out of here into whatever is ahead of you with absolute safety and confidence. Excuse me. With absolute safety and confidence, not because we are strong, but because we belong to the snake crusher, and he is strong. I'm going to close with a passage from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. Skipping down to verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man there were many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you're willing, let's stand and sing our invitation song.
My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold.
This last week, we had Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving was a chance for us to give thanks for all the many blessings we have in our life. And it's good to have a Thanksgiving, a holiday, a special day to do that, but we should really be giving thanks every day for the things that we have. And one of the things that we can be thankful for is that God sent his son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins so that we might have eternal life. And we have the Lord's Supper to remember that sacrifice that Christ made. And so we have Christ's broken body, which is represented by the bread, and his blood, which is represented by the fruit of the vine. And if you're here in the church building right now, we have a different type of communion container here. We have the bread on one side and the juice on the other. So you want to make sure you open the bread first. And my understanding is that the bread is much better tasting than the styrofoam type bread that we had before. But I have not tested it, so that's somebody else telling me that. So shall we pray for the bread? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all that you've done for us and the love you showed to us as you sent your son who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin. As we partake of this bread, we ask that we do so in a manner pleasing unto you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Shall we pray for the fruit of the vine? Almighty God, we recognize you as all-powerful and the provider of all things. We thank you again for sending your son as we partake of this fruit of the vine. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, since the pandemic here, we have not been passing the collection tray after the Lord's Supper, but we do have the chance to give back to the church, and we have either through the website you can go and do e-giving, or you can mail in your contribution, or in the back as you leave we have a box that you can put your contribution in. So let us pray for the contribution. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you again for all the many blessings you've given us. As we return some of those blessings to you, we ask that you guide the church here to use those monies to best further your work here on earth. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's a joy to be here with y'all this morning, both in person and those joining on the live stream. Thank you for being here. Peter, thank you for that lesson. It was, but in my mind, it was indeed unexpected. Satan thought that he had won right there at the beginning, several times probably. What I'm saying, when no helper was there amongst all the animals, Satan was like, yeah, God's messed up. But God didn't mess up. He had a further plan. When he tempted Adam and Eve, and they gave in to that temptation, and, you know, it was unexpected to Satan that that was not the end of the matter, that he was cursed and the ground was cursed, but that Adam and Eve were not cursed, and there was a path forward for them because of God's love for them. And then how unexpected was it that was through Eve's offspring in the person of Jesus Christ. I believe in Romans it says that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth up to this moment. What I'm saying, there was something new being born through Jesus Christ. And just like Eve's went through that suffering and that pain of childbirth, and every human woman has had that condition since, and it's a transforming thing. The whole creation itself was transformed because of this whole thing. And it was unexpected, but it was, how great and grand is it that God has loved and redeemed us very unexpectedly. Thank you, Peter, for putting us in mind of that. If you take your caring and sharing, there are updates on the prayer request. I do have one that's not in there. Mike Patterson is scheduled for a stress test this week on Tuesday. Hopefully he'll get some insight into some symptoms that he's had. So let's keep that in prayer as well. Also in the caring and sharing, there's a good number of things coming up quickly. Want to keep you in mind of those. Peter had mentioned the Christmas party sign-up. That's happening in the lobby as we depart. Also in the lobby as we depart, the Arms of Hope gift cards are continuing. You can pick one of those up. Also coming up very quickly is the Lifeline screening. All that and more is in the caring and sharing. So I want to thank you during this particular time for the way that you've continued to participate in the activities of the church. Well, I'm saying you've continued to participate in the giving, which funds the efforts of the church, and you've done a remarkable job at that. You've continued participating in each of the ministries that you're a part of. We're continuing with these activities that you see coming in December to celebrate the birth of Christ and to help each other and to draw closer. So it would be very easy to isolate ourselves at this time, but we haven't done that, and I want to recognize you for that and ask God's blessing on you for that. Also, life groups will continue through the month of December. Get with your leader about whether that's happening tonight for your group. The Nesbitt group is not because of the holiday weekend, and I assume several of the others are not. But if you're not participating in a life group in general, please get with one of the life group leaders. You can get more information about that. If you would, join me in prayer. Father, we want to humble ourselves before you, and Father, we want to lift up our eyes in adoration and in praise to you, Father. We want to thank you for how that you have provided for us, how that, Father, we know that as humans, Adam and Eve were not atypical, but they were types of our own human condition, and that we are prone to sin. We are prone to choosing the thing that you would not have us to choose. And Father, but we thank you that just as they're not atypical, but that you have redeemed the world, Father, and you have redeemed us, and that you have created in us a spirit of sonship and daughtership, and you have redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for that, that you have loved us when we were imperfect, Father, and that you have redeemed us and that you have covered us with the blood of Jesus. Father, we ask your blessings on this congregation. We ask that you would strengthen this congregation, that you would use this congregation to do your ministry here in this community, Father. I would like to lift up those that are that have illness or other distress, Father, that we've enumerated in our prayer list, and you know each of these conditions, Father, and I ask for your healing hand. I ask for your hand of strength. I ask for your hand of comfort in each of these situations. Fathers, be with us as we go through this upcoming week. Present us with opportunities to do your will. Father, this is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would stand for the closing song.
How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know our woes, Lord, you know our fears, and words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows. if you listen to my heart, every knee will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. So listen to our heart, hear our spirit sing. Praise and flow from those you have redeemed.